This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the 1912.
Oh, start that again. No matter how depressed you are, you've got to try and sound upbeat.
We sounded depressed. Okay. Hello and welcome back to a brand new episode of the 1912 Exiles podcast. I am your occasional but yet back-to-back host, Jack from WeAreExiles.net, and I am joined by Dr. Ed Bridges.
Hello, good evening. Yeah, the last episode, I think we said on Twitter afterwards, it was about as uplifting as a John Grant album. This, I don't know what's more depressing than John Grant. Like, we're beyond Radiohead, Leonard Cohen, we're in the dregs now, aren't we?
Yeah, so stick with us for a very, 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 very punchy episode, of which none of the other panellists could be raised to the fore to discuss where we're at the moment. Mainly Ian Street, who sends his apologies as he's playing bagpipes on the Mull of Kintyre. Let's kick on to the usuals then. We need to thank, definitely need to thank our Ko-Fi members who subscribe a few pennies a month to support what we do here on the podcast. So without further ado, thank you ever so much, as quickly as I can. Surrey Exile, Blair Eno, Dr. Bad Vibe, Girl Saturday, Neil Collier, Tutor Wales, Ben Smith, Josh K, Billy Punk, Hooligan, Mark Williams, Daniel Harini, and Hamid Balladabadi. Hopefully I didn't murder any pronunciations of the names there, and thank you ever so much. What you do for us is keeping us alive, keeping us with equipment, and keeping us in your ears, even when things are bad. Yes, Ed?
I was just going to say, I had a lovely chat with Daniel before the game on Tuesday night. It was lovely to chat to him. So yeah, other listeners, if you see us out in the wild, do come and have a talk, because it's always nice to put a face to the name.
Let's move on to happier stuff, shall we? Six straight defeats now. And, well, as Chris Kerwin of the Argus reminds us, only two more to match Graham Wesley's eight on the bounce from the great escape year. It's not great, is it? You were there at the game today. Was that better than Tuesday because we only conceded two? Was that worse than Tuesday because we had no fight at 1-2?
Yeah, I think the latter. In a lot of ways, it was a lot like Tuesday. So we came out of the traps, looked really bright. First 15, 20 minutes, there was the odd misplaced pass here and there, but the same was true of Tranmere. But we dominated the game, I thought, created some good chances, looked really solid, looked positive, looked like we were up for it. Got the goal, and a really good goal it was too. You know, nice cross in from Bright, great header from Evans. Good to see him breaking his drought. That was a big positive. And then we kind of didn't kick on. Tranmere equalised, and just like on Tuesday, the equaliser went in, the heads dropped, and it just felt like it was one-way traffic after that. And I think the thing that was more frustrating than Tuesday was that second half, we were a goal behind for the whole of the second half, but we were only a goal behind, and, you know, Tranmere were no great shakes. I really wanted to see us show some urgency and show some intent and try to get back and get a goal and get a point. Because, listen, if we got a point from today, if we'd have finished 2-2, we'd have all walked out of there and gone, not a great performance, you know, should have done better at 1-0, but, you know, we put the losing run to bed. And we didn't do that, and we didn't look like we were desperate to, you know, we didn't look like we'd walk over hot coals to try and get that point. And I thought that was a real shame.
We've lost that signature Newport County bounce back ability, haven't we? But can it be? I hate to start with excuses and try and bunch into positives straight away. But, you know, here's the injury list, guys. It's Josh Seabury, Matty Bonswell, Ryan Delaney, Josh Payne, James Clark, Pretty Boy Declan, Shane McLaughlin, Aaron Wildig, and Scott Bennett. Oh, yeah. Adam Lewis was off today for a suspension. I mean, you know.
What's that, 10 players? So, you know, 10 outfield players you could field just from what we've got sat in the physio's room or suspended in the case of Adam Lewis. So, look, it's a lot of players, and a lot of those are key players. Delaney, Clark, McLaughlin, Wildig, Bennett, you know, they're all players who you would probably be starting if they were fit and available, you know, Lewis as well. So absolutely take that on the chin. But some of it was about quality today, and we might come on to it, but a lot of it was just, like on Tuesday, it needed someone to step up and say, I am going to take this game by the scruff of the neck and just impose myself on it. And we were found wanting for the second time in whatever that is, 5 days.
I was having a think about this today, and much to what Ian was saying is that, you know, we're safe, we should be happy, that's mission accomplished this year. And, you know, I my sins watch a lot of F1, it's pretty boring at the moment, but the notion that a team like Red Bull, who, if you don't watch Formula 1, have basically won the championship by halfway through, they've accomplished their mission, and then they sit back and then they plan for next year and all the rest of it, and they don't spend any more time wasted on the current season. In that vein then, we had a few Twitter comments from last week regarding, should we just try something different? I guess we don't have an option but to try something different. Sanka had his first start today. How was he?
Oh, do you know what? That was the big positive from today. Nelson Sanka, first year scholar. What is he, 17, 18, I think he is. He was the best out of the three at the back, I thought, today. If you turned up and you didn't know, you would have said Sanka was the experienced centre-half. Countryfile looked all at sea. You know, listen, he's young, he's learning, he'll make mistakes and he'll have dips in form, but he did not look like an under-21 international today. He was all over the place. Even Carl Jameson made a couple of mistakes. There was one in the second half where he pretty much played Tranmere in, that how on earth we didn't concede from it, I will never know. And in contrast, Nelson Sanka looked cool, calm, collected, just dealt with things, won the ball where he needed to, played the simple pass, and yeah, looked great. Yeah, he got booked rather harshly, I thought, in the second half. But other than that, I thought it was a perfect first league start for him. Did really well. He deserves to keep his place next week. Again, he will make mistakes. He will have dips in form. We will need to be patient with him as he develops. He's not going to suddenly come in now and play like 40 games next season. But you look at him and Seabury and you'd say, okay, well, we've got two good youngsters there who, if we can tie them down onto decent length contracts, they should be able to develop nicely with us and, you know, in 2 or 3 years be good first team options for us. So I thought he did really well today, and yeah, he's big as well. I mean, he's an absolute unit, and didn't look physically intimidated by Tranmere at all. So yeah, did really well, and that was the best takeaway, I think, from today.
Okay, so there's a single shoot of optimism and positivity. Maybe another one was, oh yeah, our left wing back breaking his duck from all the way back there.
It's like classic Will Evans, you know, goes and breaks a goal scoring drought when we play at left wing back rather than up front. It was like the most Will Evans thing ever. And it really was a great header, did really well. We looked a lot more solid on the left hand side with him back in the team. What we need to do is use those wing backs a bit more. Harrison Bright, I thought, did okay down the right hand side. You know, again, he's not a finished article by any means, but he kept finding space, demanding the ball. We perhaps were a bit slow to switch it to him at times, but when we did, he looked all right going forward, got crosses in. Defensively, he got pegged back a little bit, but that's because Tranmere Rovers had a very strong option down there left. But if he can play like that again down the right, and if Evans can do what he does down the left, then that's not a bad makeshift pair of wing-backs in those roles. So, yeah, I mean, I thought, yeah, Harrison Bright, that was probably the best I've seen him play for us. And Evans looked good. You know, all of these positives, it makes you think, how didn't we come away with anything from that? And I'm really cross, because we had enough about us today that, all right, there was some lack of depth there, but like there was enough quality within that 11 that we should have created more than we did.
For those who haven't read it, Greg Hoglund says to Mr. Chris Kerwin of the Argus that we are a team that is on our knees. We've run out of energy and ideas, and we haven't got the leaders that we need on the pitch to help the young ones through. Everything that can go wrong is going wrong. That's not a true reflection on us, but I would expect better from certain individuals. It's sad watching us, but that is not a true reflection of our group. Those who have followed us all season will understand that we are feeble, weak, and not ourselves. What do you make of that?
I really like Graham Coughlan's honesty after games. He doesn't tend to like name individuals, but he is honest, and he's right. We were feeble, we were weak, we weren't ourselves. You know, he's criticized quite properly a poor performance and a poor result. He has also made the point that it isn't a true reflection of the group, and that the people who've seen us all season will understand it. And, you know, I've got a season ticket. I've been to 90% of the home games and a few of the aways. And the team that is performing at the moment is not at the average standard that we've kind of hit through the season. So he's spot on. I'd be interested in his diagnosis of exactly why that is. Something isn't quite right. You don't lose six on the bounce when everything's going great. And I don't think it can just be down to absences. Clearly, that is an enormous factor, but I don't think it's the only one.
To be a fly on the wall of conversations had between Hugh Jenkins and Graham at the moment, I'm curious what is said in those meetings. But anyway, let's pitch it to a word from our sponsors. When we come back, it's the listener questions and clips.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome back, and now it's time for your questions and clips. So, certain Ollie, contributors of the pod extraordinaire, sent this in from a certain truck.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. It's Ollie reporting from the tactics truck. I think it might have been Ed put on the pod Twitter that today's game felt very much like a copy and paste of two season performances against Accrington. I think he was spot on the money. Started off quite well, then collapsed in the middle a little bit and just went downhill from there. I think there's two statements being thrown about it at the moment, that Coughlan hasn't got fit players or he's not got enough players, and that a lot of players aren't playing well. I feel that both can be true at the same time. If we had one or two more players who were fit and, you know, more senior players, we'd be looking at a much stronger finish to the season, but that does not excuse the fact that certain players in this side aren't playing up to their full potential of what we've seen this season. I think if we are looking for a positive in this match, the youth players that came in, the Harrison Brights, the Kevin Rice, your Jack Norris's, your Nelson Sankers, all brought a brilliant bit of energy. Really fresh, really promising, and hopefully they get more minutes over the next few games.
Yeah, good point, Ollie. Yeah, so what is Graham Coughlan to do with this? Is he going to play out the youth and experiment and try and assess who goes where next season, or is he looking over his shoulder and worrying how he's going to break this duck to make it look that to at least Hugh, more than anyone, our new chairman, that he is the man for the job?
I think pretty self-evidently we need to get something out the next couple of games, because if you lose 8 on the bounce and then the season ends, you really do invite the question. Now, you know, I've got an awful lot of time for Graham Coughlan, and even if we did lose 8 on the spin, I think there's still a strong argument for keeping him. But you do make your position very, very difficult if you do that. So, you know, let's get something against Salford next week and just kind of put that to bed a little bit. The other thing I would say about the youngsters, and I agree with Ollie, we finished the game with 4 academy players on the pitch. So you had Bright, Sanker, Rye and Norris. And I think 2-3 of those look good enough to give another game to next week. You know, I thought Bright, as I say, probably had one of the best games I've seen him have. Sanker deserves to keep his place. Norris, when he came on, had a creativity and a spark and a willingness to make stuff happen that has been conspicuously absent since Wildig's been injured. So I think, you know, there's a good case for not just playing with them as an experiment or to give them a chance, but actually because they've kind of earned that right a little bit. And the other thing that I was nodding along to listening to Ollie, I think he said it, he said in much clearer language what I was trying to say a minute ago. Yes, we've got injuries, but there are players who aren't performing well enough. And I was particularly thinking about up front when he was saying that, because, all right, it's a makeshift defence, it's a makeshift midfield, but basically all of our strikers are fit and available. And, you know, the goal today came from the left wing back. On Tuesday night, the goal came from Brin in midfield. Jeffcott had an incredible chance today, blazed it over the bar. I think he's putting too much pressure on himself. He's desperate to get that first goal, but he's a professional footballer who plays as a striker, and when that comes to him, you try and get it on the target. You know, Zanzala, Bogle were kind of feeding off scraps a little bit today, but again, you've got to make things happen. So I understand that we will concede goals when we've got a very makeshift back line. I'm less forgiving about the strikers not making stuff happen, which is why I thought when Norris came on, played with a bit of vim, you know, played some ambitious passes that came off, I was kind of on my feet a bit at that point, because that's what we need, is someone who's willing to take a few risks and try and make stuff happen.
A fizzy midfielder,
exactly. Yeah, you couldn't put it better.
To coin an old phrase from last season. Right, okay. Let's go quick fire. We'll react if necessary, but here's what you had to say on Twitter. Trevor Daniels says, we are at the bare bones defensively and in midfield. They haven't lost the fans yet, so I think we all understand how difficult things are. Yeah, it is with the injury list, isn't it? UT County says, first reaction to Evan scoring was, okay, so we're losing 2-1 then. The collapse every game is so predictable. Ah, dare you say inevitable. Duncan Stanley Smith. Played well first half, deserved and great team goal to take the lead. Very simply, with our first choice back 5, we win the game. Having said that, a very competent debut by Sanka. Concur. Rob says, finishing the season with less than a whimper, 6 losses in a row is embarrassing regardless of circumstances. Need to stop the rot ASAP to make sure this mindset does not continue into next season. Stringy Bob, great username. Stringy Bob says, Bogle was the only one who looked League 2 quality today. Make of that what you will. Wright is nowhere near good enough yet and positionally terrible. Sanka looks like he might have something going for him. Jeffcott is our worst signing in a number of seasons. That's a bit harsh, isn't it, Ed, for Jeffcott?
Yeah, I still cling to the idea that Jeffcott will come good, and he is looking fitter and sharper. I will say that for him, and he's getting into the right positions. And I do also think that once a goal comes, he'll have a weight off his shoulders and will improve. But he needs that goal.
Yeah, he has the quality. He's won the awards in the past at different clubs. We just need to pay him the same patience that we give Will. Moving on. Anyway, Dan Y at Sapinia Century simply states, it was better than Tuesday. That's it. Moving on, Carl Williams says, you can't lose 6 games on the bounce and keep your job. It's as simple as that, unfortunately. Would you sack Graham for 6 on the bounce? I guess there's managers out there for less.
Yeah, this is like a modern football thing, isn't it? I mean, Carl's right in that often in the modern game, 6 on the bounce, that's it, the chopping block comes out. I don't know whether that's a good thing. I don't think it is a good thing. I think you do need to be patient with people, and I think you need to look at things in the round. So I'm kind of cautious about that. But he is, like I said earlier, if we lose eight on the bounce, if we get to the end of April and we are on that really bad run, you invite the question. Inevitably, you do. So next week is massive.
Yeah, I can almost hear the screaming banshee voice of Ian coming down from the rolling hills of the Mullan Kintyre. He's put down his bagpipes and he's saying, not again, not the same as we did to James Robrey. Okay, Kashmir Knit says, awful, second game in a row that we've started well and taken the lead in, only to concede an equaliser and a hair's drop. I'm not sure about anyone else, but it feels as though Coughlin has thrown in the towel and these players don't seem particularly interested in fighting for him. They've got contracts to fight for, some of them, I guess. But if that's your take, that's your take. Jacob says six losses in a row. That's not down to money or squad. That's down to tactics and mindset. Diesel Y2J says better than Tuesday, but still garbage. Rich Coxedge. Wish I wasn't coming up next Saturday. At least I get to see my brother and pick up a stack of records from a friend. I work with your brother, Rich. He's a lovely guy. Hello, David. Tim Hopkins, there was potential there in the first half. Wright and Sanka did well, but we should and could have fleeced them down. Now Wright, if there'd been the confidence to give it to Bright. Almost rhymes there, doesn't it? With him, Sanka, Wright, you have to say that if they build their confidence, the future is bright. Aha! Get it? Blerino, playing Morris and Charsley as a two in midfield is always a disaster. Neither of them want to sit and hold position, so they wander about and just leave huge gaps. Opposition just steams down the middle to score. Just a weak squad getting ripped apart at the moment. Ed, that's pretty much in line with what you said. They need some help, don't they?
Yeah, I thought Stu nailed it. I hadn't really thought about it in those terms, but he's right. Because we're playing this kind of three up top thing without certain players as well, you know, Morris and Charsley, I think, are both, I've got a huge amount of time for both of them. I think they're brilliant players. I think, you know, Morris has started every league game this season and has been immense and has chipped in with goals. Charsley, I think the last few games has looked really on it, and particularly on Tuesday, I thought he was the one trying to do the thing of grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck. But they do need a Scott Bennett in there with them. And when we don't have that, it's a miss. I was really interested by that because I haven't really thought about it in those terms, but I think Stu's spot on.
There's no onions in the curry, is there? It's an onionless curry. Okay. Hooligan, so disappointed in the way this season has ended. Clearly some know they're on their way. Performances are way off par and the importance of those that are missing gets greater every week. Can't see any difference in the remaining games either. Daniel Arini says, generally enjoyable for 25 minutes, some lovely passing play and a goal, then just lost their energy and press. I was pleased to have Jameson in when Delaney got injured, but he's been so poor as of late. Not just defending, but his distribution out. So many went astray, out of play, or just straight to Tranmere. He also goes on to say, I did think that Sanka was calm and assured for a young lad, did very well. Bright also appears to be growing in confidence. Chris says, can CGC going and HJ clean slate with new manager bringing in his own players. Thanks to GC for all he's done, but he's been let down by certain players as of late and looks a broken man. Jameson and Baker woeful again, as they have been for the last few weeks. Daniel Harini back again with another tweet. I'm going in a bit here. Baker is a liability too, not a ball carrier, and just wants to get rid any which way when he has the ball. I'm really not convinced by Jeffcott either. Hope I'm wrong, but he seems to be doing a lot of running and little else. And then finally, Gabe says, youth players played much better. Jameson, Morris, Charsley looked knackered. Event-wise, one of the worst atmospheres I've seen at the parade this season. Could barely string a chant together. Add me choosing the worst match to attend hungover. So many kids. Worst nightmare. Were you hungover, Ed? Was it a bad... What was the atmosphere like?
The atmosphere point I was going to pick up on... Because I saw that from Gabe, and I think Nigel Dutson, a friend of the pod, said something similar as well. I wouldn't be too harsh on the crowd, because I think we had 4,500 today, which is a lot more than I expected us to get. We had, 3,100 Tuesday night? But fair play to the club. They'd marketed the Kids for a Quid thing today, 4,500 for a kind of meaningless end-of-season game when we'd already lost five on the bounce. So that was really good. And granted, the crowd was not the most vociferous. They didn't have an awful lot to be vociferous about, I think, particularly in the second half. And, you know, in some ways it's fair to criticise that, but equally the point that was in my mind was there are plenty of scenarios in which you can imagine the atmosphere being very poisonous after five consecutive defeats and heading for a sixth. And people weren't like that. People weren't getting on players' backs. I didn't hear, I mean, I was down the very far end of the terrace, but I didn't hear anyone really having a go at Coughlin either. So, all right, the crowd was not great at getting behind the team and it was fairly subdued, but you kind of expect that, and they weren't giving the players pelters. So, yeah, it's one of those, you know, glass half full, glass half empty.
It goes back to what Trevor said at the start of the shout-outs here. We're a bare-bones defensively in midfield. They haven't lost to fans yet, and so I think we all understand how difficult things are. If that's the general consensus at Rodney Parade, I mean, can you remember how much stick we used to give Graham Wesley after four or five on the eight? It was absolutely vociferous, but we don't do the same with Graham, and I think, yeah, for me personally, you know, you just the injury list, I worry some people might think it's a crutch and it's an excuse. It's not. It's a real thing. It's a difficult, difficult managerial task to get so many players in, and then, you know, you're missing leaders on the pitch. So, you know, with that being said, let's depress you no more. Let's get to the outro of the podcast. Player of the pod, if you can pick one, Ed, who would the player of the pod be for you?
Oh, I don't. It won't be any surprise. Nelson Sanka. You know, he's the one man who can go to bed tonight with his head held high. If you go to bed with your head held high, you probably don't. He did his job today.
Totally concur. And if he's 17 years old, breaking into a League Two side, no matter what the circumstances is, we just hope the best for next season, because that's one to watch, isn't it? So, okay, shout-outs and beefs. I'll go with a shout-out. 4,549. One shout-out for the club for their astute business-like sort of ways of dealing with trying to get more attendance into their ground. And you know, you should have a right to, given the fact that you've lost so many on the bounce.
I would also give a shout-out to everybody who turned up this afternoon and yeah, didn't get on the players' backs despite everything. No beefs from me. I mean, that you know, I could start a million on the basis of the last couple of performances, but I think that would be against the spirit of what I was just saying.
Okay. Without depressing people even further, we'll wait until the next few games and record another pod, hopefully with a full range of panellists. We've got Salford at home on Saturday, final game of the season away to Bradford the following Saturday, and that about wraps us up. Now, thanks always to Tinty and the Bucket Hats for our theme tune. Any closing sentiments, Ed?
No, I don't think so. I'm not going to get to the Salford game next weekend because of other commitments, and I've scrapped my plans to go to Bradford on the final day. So that was my last county game of the season. It felt like it went with a bit of a whimper. But yeah, if you are a listener and if you're in two minds about going next Saturday, you should go next Saturday and go, even if you're not going for your own benefit, go for the teams, because I feel like Salford next Saturday is the best chance we've got of putting this run to bed and going to the summer with a kind of clean slate. So if you can get there next Saturday, get there next Saturday.
Yeah, concur. And finally, thanks to all you for listening and supporting us as ever. There's only one thing left to say: look after yourselves, look after each other, and above all, keep it county.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.